Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz and Chickies at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show here tonight at 6, and then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh and Elliot Shore Parks. And the player in Players Lounge tonight is Cooper DeJean, who that tackle on Ja'Marr Chase on 4th-and-1 was, I mean, a crucial play. They might not win that game if Cooper DeJean doesn't tackle him there. I mean, he's been... It's hard to tell how he's been in coverage all the time because you're not watching everything all the time. But his tackling...
Well, yeah, his coverage is not his forte.
Not yet. Certainly not yet. But yeah. But his play around the line of scrimmage so far has been absolutely excellent.
Yeah. And the most impressive thing about that play, while the tackle was certainly impressive for him to get Ja'Marr Chase down in the open field, it's the recognition of the play. He's in man coverage. He doesn't get caught up in sort of the junk, because that's supposed to be a little bit of a pick route. That receiver that's lined up on the outside, I can't remember who it was, but he's coming off the ball with the DB there, and that is designed to sort of get Cooper DeJean sort of locked up in there to where Ja'Marr Chase catches that ball and he's able to pick up that first down easily. Cooper saw that and was able to avoid that little pick route and get there and make the play. So that his instincts there was the most impressive thing.
A huge win for the Eagles yesterday, and what better way to relive the glory of the win against the Bengals than a bunch of Merrill and Mike highlights. Here you go.
Merrill Reeves and Mike Quick at Paycor Stadium in downtown Cincinnati, what is known as the Jungle, as the 4-2 Eagles meet the 3-4 Bengals. In a series that began in 1971, the Eagles have never beaten the Bengals here in Cincinnati. Merrill goes back, he pumps, he fires wide open down the far sideline. Eric All, the tight end, I don't know how open he could be. It is a first down. Stretching for the ball was Mike Gesicki. He killed them as a Miami Dolphin, and he's killing them this afternoon. Back goes Burrow. He's looking, he's rolling, firing, caught, touchdown. Guess who? Chase. Hurts into a long count. He is calling. He is sneaking. He is pushed. And I think he's in. I think he's in. Good news. The Eagles broke the plane. It is a touchdown. Eagles will get the ball and begin the third quarter. This is the end of the first half with the score 10-10. Hurts takes the snap. He's back. Here comes the rush. He lets it go on the far side. Easily completed on the far side to Devontae Smith. Across the 40, up to the 50 with a 21-yard pickup. Hurts gives it off to Barkley, and Barkley has the first down with 3 or 4 yards to spare.
I like
he is so tough to stop. On first down, Hurts takes the snap. He's going to carry himself. He's going to run. He's going to score! Hurts! And the Eagles take the lead for the first time in this game. Shotgun. Hurts looks. He's pumping. He is going deep downfield, and it is caught!
Devontae Smith! Touchdown! Over the shoulder!
The ball!
Spectacular!
Yeah, you get it to Devontae Smith anywhere in his vicinity, and this is what he does.
Fly, Eagles, fly into the end zone.
Hand off to Moss, and he won't go. He'll lose a yard, maybe 2 yards. They smack them in the backfield.
Look at Brandon Graham. Look at the energy that the old guy brings to this defense.
Burrow back. He tries to swing it out to Chase, and he's brought down for a loss by DeGene. DeGene went into the backfield, and the Eagles take over on down.
Oh, my. What a play by the rookie Cooper DeGene. Rodgers makes the play on the ball. He tips the ball. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the recipient of the tip ball for the interception. The Eagles have it going back the other way.
That is unbelievable. Hurts gives to Barkley. Takes off to the outside.
Barkley laying out some punishment. Tiptoeing down the sideline.
He goes out of bounds inside the two.
He was on a tightrope.
And he nearly took it all the way.
It goes to Gesicki, and he's dead. The ball is loose,
ball's
and the Eagles
again.
Recover.
Yeah.
The ball is loose, and the Eagles recover. Now the rest of the fans can go home. 3-2-1. It's over. The final score. The Eagles 37. The Bengals 17.
Now, Jack, that's Wechter that puts that together, correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I really enjoy his song choices in there, especially the came out the move. I can't say the second word there, but I think Wechter is very purposeful in the music that he uses in that.
Well, he's a pro.
Yeah,
he's been doing this for a while.
Yeah. I would say that Wechter's montages are better than Uram's montages. I know that.
Wow.
Uram's montages were
Trent
pretty
Lightly.
Good. Yeah. Well, I do have to see Uram. Maybe I'll be careful. I'm just kidding, Dave. Yours were just as good. All right. Coming up next at 3:15. Ish. Nick Sirianni will speak. Will Elliot get the first question in? And what will it be? That you will find out coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game, Chickie's and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles all season long. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The new theme of the Eagles season.
I'm with it. I like it.
Has to be. We're at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game, Chickie's and Pete's your destination for the Eagles all season long. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, 5 at 4, Donovan McNabb joins us. And in moments, Nick Sirianni's game after press conference, which will be a good one. I like good mood, Nick. And we'll get good mood, Nick. The coaches' press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. Oh, is that me? Sorry. It's sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. 215-592-9494. Rios in North Philly. Rios, you're on WIP.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
Rios.
What's up, gentlemen? Yeah, I mean, you already know, like, man, it just feels so good. It feels so good just to walk around, see certain people who talk crap about the team or whatever, or just want to just pick at me, say they ain't going to do whatever, and just walking around like, yeah, going on a run, looking at folks like, yeah, y'all know what time it is. Yeah, go Birds. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I hate when I say go Birds to somebody, they don't say it back. I'll be like, yo, where you from, man? Like, but anyway.
Yeah, that's me, but.
You don't say it back to people?
No. Go Birds is for frauds.
I'm going to tell you what I don't like. Go Eagles.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Go
yeah.
Eagles sound yes. funny yeah. as hell, man. It's go Birds, man.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Because
birds.
At the end of the day, we the king of birds. Any other of them birds in the NFL can say whatever it is. Ain't nobody an Eagle. So
especially Falcons. Yeah.
So,
that's former Falcon great, too. I agree, saying the Falcons logo stinks.
We might need a top 5 of 5 of ranked
birds.
Yeah, of ranked NFL birds.
Yeah,
Jack, get on that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm a birdsman.
Yeah.
You got to get on that, John, but... But, man, let me tell you something, man, and I think it all started yesterday for me when – and I think, didn't you say Dan Marino's your favorite quarterback or something like that you said?
Yep, of all time.
Of all time, bro, I swear. What was it, the 3rd and 15 before when they were up 10-3, the Bengals, and it was 3rd and 15, he threw that damn zip to A.J. Brown between two cats. Mm. I don't know if y'all remember, but, man, I looked at that John and I said, oh, wait, Dan Marino? Dylan Hurst threw that John? I knew right away from there, like, yo, We was going to do our freaking thing. And it wasn't like, it wasn't if it was just through the sidelines. It was at least towards inside of the middle of the field. So I loved it. And let me get another thing, because I know y'all got to go to that stuff. But, like, Slay, Toe Slay, let me tell you something, man. Like, this the only negative I'm going to come on here. There ain't nothing to smile about when you get toast. You're smiling in a way where it's like, it's okay, I can get toast, we can lose, and I'm going to leave out of here, and I'm going to be okay. Now, man, stop with that sucker stuff, because they put the camera right on you, man. Put the camera right on you. But anyway, look, these young boys, let these young boys play. They're competing. That's the thing. They want to make their money. They want their spots. They want to show something. You know what I mean? Look, I'm going to just say this. Make young boys tough again. That's what I like it. Them cats playing tough, huh? Bring it in what they want. Bring it in their own type of violence. Because most young boys these days are scary. They're very scared. So let these young boys be tough when they're tough and bring it back. We're keeping our momentum. We're doing stuff under center. We coming together as a brotherhood with violence. Man, ain't nothing better than that, man. On all sides of the ball, offense, the way you catch it, the way Jalen Hurts throws, the way the offensive line is blocking, Saquon running, and defense smacking people in their mouth and competing and looking at cats like, nah, you ain't going to do me like that, man. Let these young boys play. Let me tell you something.
We got to let you go, Rios.
Go ahead.
Nick Sirianni speaks now.
Hey, Nick. Good afternoon. Hey, I know some of it's probably game flow a little bit, but we've seen an uptick in under center usage over the last couple of weeks. Why is that, and what are the benefits of it for you guys?
Yeah, a little bit of that is, you know, just the way the game is played out, and different situations that happen in the game. I think we've had some big leads here the last couple of weeks that probably make that number balloon even more. But it's good to just be multiple and some different things, but still do what you do well. And I think, we've had a lot of success being in the gun, and also can have some success here under center. Different personnel groupings give you some different under center opportunities as well. I think it's a little bit of everything.
We'll go to Jeff and then John.
Hey, Nick. Jalen used the term that the offense was kind of trending forward, but not quite there yet, and still putting pieces together. Where do you think the offense is in its evolution right now, and what are some of the things you think still need a little bit of work?
Yeah, I think it's trending forward, for sure. Like Jalen said, we've had a nice last couple games, where we've had some production, and I think you're always a work in progress, and you're always working on continuing to figure out things that you do well and continuing to, repeat those things. And so I think it's just all, I think the things change week to week. Again, we talk a lot about our identity being tough and being physical and playing with high detail and playing together as a team. I think scheme things change week in, week out based off of a lot of different things. And so I think that's just constantly evolving and constantly taking different shapes and different forms.
I'll go to John and then Chris.
Hey, Nick. You kind of mentioned yesterday, more than identity, you were mentioning habits a lot. Do you get like a sense that the team is where you want them habit-wise, or is that like a constantly evolving process?
Yeah, I think that's constantly evolving. You're trying to establish your habits each and every day, and go through your process each and every day. I think what we know, or I know we know, is that you are going to be where your habits are. If you work hard on tackling, and you work hard on catching the football, then you're going to succeed at those. You have a better chance of succeeding at those things. And so, we just want our habits to reflect, with the way we play, with our effort, and to look like that in practice, the way we look with our physicality, the way we look like with our detail. And so, those are the things that we're talking about. Is the habits that you create. We feel like you're going to play how you practice. And so how important practice is for us. And so we're just trying to you know, your culture is what your habits are. And so in your, you know, we're just trying to be our habits at each and every week.
We'll go to Chris and then Martin.
Afternoon, Nick. When you're looking at Quinyon and Cooper, why have they been so successful this early in their careers? And did you guys expect them to have this significant roles this early?
Again, you know, when you draft guys, you have high expectations for every guy that you draft. But things kind of play out as, you know, as camp continues on. And I think these guys have given us confidence in them since the day they've gotten here. I know Coop had a head setback with, you know, with his injury. But, you know, as he was able to go, they've given us confidence in him. And so I think that, you know, it's not a surprise to us because we see it every day at practice of who these guys are. And so excited about where they are, excited about where they're going. They got to keep working every day. We know we're only as good as our next game, which is the next one coming up against Jacksonville. But excited about their skill set and who they are. I think these guys are ultra competitive. The moment's not too big for them. I mean, they're going against one of the best wide receivers in the NFL yesterday, and they didn't blink. Got a lot of respect for who they are and how they work.
We'll go to Martin and then EJ.
Hey, Nick. One of the things Jalen mentioned yesterday in regards to Devontae, you know, having the one catch for minus 2 yards against the Giants was, there are a lot of mouths to feed. And then for Devontae to come back like he did yesterday, what kind of sacrifice does it take on guys like Devontae, AJ, Saquon, even Jalen, you know, knowing that, you know, this week, particular week, might not be their week as far as touches are concerned, and to kind of like accept that and to appreciate that?
I think first and foremost, every week we go into every game plan like, how are we going to get these guys the ball? And so you don't really know that it's not going to be your week until the game's going on and the flow of the game happens. And you might not, and even then, like, you might need a big play as the game continues on. So sometimes you don't even know that the week's going to play out like that until the game's over. Now you have some ideas of how they might double guys at certain spots and this and that. But I think, you know, that's the first thing. Like, you don't know as the week leads up. And so everyone's preparing the way they are. But then I think it takes great selflessness. You know, being a team, right, is, you know, fighting for each other, is celebrating together, being selfless and understanding that sometimes, you know, it's not going to be your turn that week. And all that matters is that we win. Like, I think what Devontae, you know, talking about Devontae, like, he changed the game other ways last week against the Giants. It just wasn't in when he was catching the football. And then he's able to come out and change the game, you know, with the ball in his hands this week. I just think it says a lot about our guys and their selflessness of being able to roll with the punches and play the next play and know, you know, there's going to be some times like that. I think, you know, it was nice to get Devontae the game that he had yesterday, and I think it showed up in many ways, right? You saw him make an unbelievable touchdown catch with in traffic on a jump ball. Jalen put a great ball on him. We had great protection, and Smitty went up and got it. And then I love the third down conversion by Devontae on the little sideline pass there that Jalen put out there for him. And then, you know, Devontae, I showed this in the team meeting today, Devontae lowering his shoulder and getting the extra yards needed. You know, you don't see that a lot with, you know, a guy who's on the sideline. You see a lot of guys will step out of bounds, but Devontae's so tough. And the reason I say that is because he is so physically tough, but he's mentally tough too. And there are ebbs and flows of the season. You're going to have wins. You're going to have losses. How do you respond? You're going to have games where you have no catches. You're going to have games where you have, you know, whatever, however many had yesterday, 6 for 86. And so, you know, that takes mental toughness to be able to understand that. And he's not only physically tough, but mentally tough. And all those guys have to be in that same boat with him, and they are.
Thanks.
We'll go to EJ and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. I was curious with some of the wrinkles that you guys have added to the run game in the last couple of weeks. Like, what's it been like behind the scenes with the coaching staff, especially like Kellen and Stout, I guess coming up with some of those things and kind of like collaborating to come up with those concepts?
Yeah, I just always think about a game plan week of how that goes and how much work it takes to get to that spot, right? If first it takes the quality control coaches and the assistant position coaches and the position coaches coming up with, you know, breaking down the tape and organizing the tape. So, and then it gets to the whole staff where they're all, you know, everyone's sitting in there and talking about what's the best way to attack. So it truly is just like this game, a true team game where it takes all parts, to, you know, come up with a plan. And, you know, some guys have specialties, you know, hey, you're in charge of the red zone, you're in charge of the third down, to kind of put that stuff together. So, yeah, it's exciting because, you know, we play the greatest team sport there is, and that doesn't stop on the field, right? That's down to, you know, every part of this building, and all the things that go on to, you know, shoot, all the PR guys and Bob and his staff that have helped me get ready for this interview and the next one. I think I, 10 interviews probably this week. So just to get ready for all those. So it's like that, you know. I know you asked about Kellen Stout and the offensive staff, and it's like that with the offensive staff. It's like that with the defensive staff. It's like that with Howie and his staff, and then Howie's staff intertwining with the coaching staff. And so it's just an ultimate team game in every aspect.
We'll go to Zach and then Ruben.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Speaking of Howie's staff, if you look at your trade deadline history, there's been mixed results there. How does that affect the way you view the trade deadline, number one? And number two, what sense do you have of the necessity for external fortifications here?
Yeah, you know, I love the team that we have, and I think this team's really coming together. With that being said, I know, you know, we're always looking for ways to improve our team, and I know Howie's one of the best at that, of always, always, always looking at ways that he can improve the football team. And I admire that and value that of how he goes to work there. And but like I said, love the guys that we have. You know, I think we're coming together really nicely as a team, but we'll see how this next week plays out.
And yeah, the first part of the question, as far as your history with midseason acquisitions, how does that affect the way you look at it?
Yeah, each year's different. Each year's again, like I said, every way we can make the team better, you know, I'm always up for that.
We'll go to Ruben and then Bo.
Hey, Nick. I want to ask you about Grant Calcaterra and some of the big plays he's made. He's only got 12 catches, but I think 6 of them are for 19 yards or more. What is it about Grant that gives him the ability to turn in those big plays?
Yeah, Grant's got a great feel of how to run routes and how to get open at the top of the route. I think he's really, I think he's got good quickness to get in and out of breaks and create separation. And then I think he's got really good hands to finish the catch. And then I think he's sneaky. He's been around Dallas for so long and sees how.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dallas finishes with the ball in his hands, and I think what we've seen from Grant is that ability to get the ball in his hands and kind of finish the run. I think about the one he had against Cleveland where we got the ball to him in the flat and he went for 30 plus yards on that one. And so he's tough to bring down, and he plays nasty, he plays physical. He's a tough guy, and You know, he's really done a nice job. I think there's, you know, in any season, there's going to be injuries that happen. And our guys, you know, from Fred to Grant to Isaiah to Tyler Steen, they've done such a nice job of stepping in and being able to, you know, give us opportunities to win and have a chance to win. And Grant's right there at the top of the list.
We'll go to Bo and then Jimmy.
Hey, Nick, I don't want to get you in trouble here. So the Tyler Steen penalty for after the whistle, if somebody had the opinion that maybe the ref should have blown that whistle earlier and that was the real reason for that happening, would somebody be onto something?
I went in there today and kind of talked through that and kind of reestablish what the rule is there. You know, one thing we really pride ourselves in is those extra yards we get when we push the pile. So you preach everyone running to the football, so and everyone hustling the football. So if anything happens, like the ball comes on the ground, they're there for that. But also to be able to push the pile and get the extra yards. And you saw it against the Giants last week where Saquon had the ball and was probably stopped at about the 2-yard line, but everyone got behind him and pushed, you know, pushed the pile into the end zone. And, you know, we scored a touchdown off of it. And that's happened a bunch. We talk about that a lot. And our guys play so hard and, you know, their effort is what it is. And it's, you know, and we have benefits because of our guys and the way they play and how hard they play. So now the rule is that if I'm right behind you, I can get in there and push. But if I'm building up ahead of steam, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm building up ahead of steam and putting my back into the pile, that's what they don't want. And so, you know, I get why they called that. I know why they called that. I know why Tyler was trying to get up there and push him further, because we praise that. And to be honest with you, Bo, like sometimes you're like, do I want him to blow the whistle? I didn't want him to blow the whistle. It's sometimes yes, sometimes no. I didn't want him to blow the whistle in the Giants game because we were able to push the pile forward to get the touchdown. Had I been able to tell that we were going to get a penalty for that, I would rather him blow the whistle there. You know. So
well, it's similar to the play where Devontae got hurt the first time.
Yeah, that was just that was a little different because it was just Devontae and that guy going backwards, and this one was a little bit more of a scrum. Okay. In the pile. I saw him as different. I didn't think of it that way, and I saw him as a little bit different as you say that. But So did I get what you did?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to Jimmy and then Olivia.
Hey, Nick. Zach stole my trade deadline question, but I have another maybe unimportant one for you. Just out of curiosity, when you had pulled all your, you know, not all of your, but most of your offensive line starters and the rest of the starters late in the game and left Jalen in, just curious why you'd not pulled Jalen as well.
Yeah, you know, I knew we were handing the ball off right there. I just wanted to make sure we were securing the snap right there. As you could see, like, it was the first play of their drive where they fumbled. And so we were kind of pulling them one by one right there. And, you know, as the drive continued, we just, you know, Jalen was going to stay in. And because, you know, him and Cam and you always want that quarterback center exchange. I just thought it was important there for that to happen. And, you know, we weren't going to put Jalen at risk at that point. He was just going to hand the ball off.
Okay, thanks.
We'll finish with Olivia here.
Hey, Nick. Slay said on his podcast today that he was getting an MRI in the morning. I'm assuming that means he was getting an MRI today. But regardless, what is the latest on his health? And if he isn't ready to go this week, what have you seen from Isaiah Rogers kind of behind the scenes in his preparation that made, you know, a big moment like yesterday possible for him?
Sure. Yeah. You know, we'll see on Slay. We got a lot of time before we play the next game. And he's a heck of a player. He played a good game yesterday. We hope he's back. You know, Isaiah, to answer your question on Isaiah, I was able to spend year 2020 with Isaiah and saw how special of a player he was when we were in Indy together. You know, his speed, his quickness, his knack for the football. And his work ethic of how he constantly trying to work to get better. And, you know, since he stepped foot in this building and we've been on the practice field with him, all we've seen him do is make plays and do things that we were, you know, we're glad we have him. And again, he gets to go against AJ and Devontae so often that, you know, that's going to help. That helps him get better. But he, you know, he has a unique skill set as far as his speed, his quickness, and then combine that with the way he works each and every day at practice to get better. And that's why we have faith in him. And he's tough. I mean, he's got great toughness. Like, you know, being able to come back and play after the broken hand and play, you know, then take another shot to the broken hand a couple weeks ago and still come back and continue. Like, he's got great perseverance, great toughness, and he's done that, you know, through his NFL career on and off the field.
The Nick Sirianni day after press conference. Ike, let me ask you this. You're Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. You're doing the press conference, and a question starts. Slay said on his podcast...
Yeah.
Just the next words out of the reporter's mouth, you never know what it could be. It's just, Nick is just standing there, I'm sure, bracing himself for what it's about
to come. This is all script. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on right now. Yep.
The Twitter.
I know I felt that way just listening to it. Like, hold on, I don't know what the hell Slay said on his podcast.
And I would think to myself, I was Nick. Slay said on his podcast, wait a minute, the game was ended less than 24 hours ago.
How did he do a podcast?
Yeah,
He's got to do a post-game pod.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got to maximize the views. You know that.
Elliot and Seltzer have to get him on Google. If he's doing podcasts right after the game, I would just start doing the math. I'm like, wait a minute. We played the game. Then we were in the locker room. Then we were on the plane.
Right.
And wait a minute. Is he doing a podcast?
We didn't get back to 8 o'clock last night.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike. We have another question. I need you to guess the percentages on.
All right.
Are the Eagles back in the Super Bowl conversation for you? Yes or no? What do you think the answer?
Especially the day after a big win. I'm going to go. Wow. I'm going to go slightly yes. I'm going to go 53% yes.
55% no.
Wow, okay.
55% no.
Okay.
So we'll get to more of that right after we talk to G. 215-592-9494. G in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, G?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's up?
What up, G?
Hey, I went down, up, to the game this weekend, and I leave out of a bar called Nostalgia, I think. It's like a jazz bar. And I'm walking across this parking lot, and this car pulls up to me. He's like, hey, of course, I had my Kelly Green, you know, Eagles jersey on. And he's like, hey, you guys from Philly? And I'm like, well, I'm from Delaware. He's like, yeah, my uncle is Ike Reese. So I'm like, okay. So he's like, I kind of get closer to him. I look at him, and he does kind of favor you, Ike.
Yes, of course.
I asked him what his name was. He said his name was Brandon Reese.
Brandon Reese?
He said his name was Brandon Reese, and he said his mother was, I think, Tasha. Tasha Reese, maybe?
I
tried to do the family tree
I got to have to trace the tree, man.
Man, first David Reese, and now Brandon Reese.
So obviously, I'm out of town, so it's not like he could get any juice from me. You know what I mean? Random guy when he was
jersey
on.
Sure.
So I would assume that he was probably telling the truth. So I told him, I said, yes, and man, so I asked him, were you home? And he was like, man, Ike's family's like, we live like right across the street, or right around the corner, I guess, whatever he was kind of saying. But I was asking, did you come down for the game? He's like, no. I said, well, man, I think I'm going to call into WIP on Monday. It's kind of telling.
Yeah.
I've listened to you guys for a very long time. This is my first time calling.
Thank you for calling.
Like, we need Brandon to call.
Yeah, sure, shout out to Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah. The 6 degrees of Ike Reese. It's like, how many Reese's does it take?
My nephew. Yeah. Shout out to my nephew, Brandon.
Yeah.
It was so the Bengals fans were really interesting to me. There were a lot of Bengals fans dressed up with a whole bunch of Bengals gear. So obviously, me being Eagles, we just whipped their butts. So I'm kind of like, go Birds, you know, little BTA action, you know, whatever, talking my smack. And they're like, well, you know, I'm not really a Bengals fan. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm just
I just live here, and I'm, like, dressing up to go to the game. And I'm like, what? And I go down to somebody else. And they're like, well, I'm not really a Bengals fan. I'm a Steelers fan. You know, I just kind of out here for the game. And I'm like, so what's going on with all these Bengals fans that are not really Bengals fans? It's like they're kind of dressed up as other fans, impersonating, I guess, how they're just enjoying their time, I guess. I don't know. But that part was kind of weird. And the last thing, there was just kind of stressing that we, I guess, showing some kind of hope in our team, stressing that we stopped Pat Mahomes from a three-peat. So I'm like, well, I don't know if we can do that, but sounds like it's still a little bitterness from just their Pat and Joe Burrow rivalry, man. That's pretty much it.
All right, Chief.
Yeah, they probably got an AFC thing going on over there.
Well, yeah, I also wonder.
By the way, I don't have an FU named Brandon or.
Not the.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I don't know who he met. He may have met somebody that said I was his uncle. I don't know who it was.
Are you worried that anyone with the last name of Reese is walking around Cincinnati saying that they're related to you?
Oh, no, they should. I mean, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You can say you're part of the clan. Yeah, part of the Reese clan. I'm your uncle. Yeah, I would probably be the most popular Reese from Cincinnati.
Well, so
not that big of a city.
Before we get back to the yes. Eagles, I can only imagine if you're in Cincinnati and you have, you know, the hardest thing to get if you're an NFL team, you think, is getting the franchise quarterback. That is the key to everything. Mm-hmm. So they get Joe Burrow, who they all believe, and they should believe, is franchise quarterback. They get to a Super Bowl. They get to a championship game. And then you're in a situation where the team just flat out doesn't look good enough. I can just only imagine how frustrating it is for Bengals fans at this point to look and say, hey, we have a star wide receiver. We have a star quarterback. How in the world do we not put ourselves in position to be a contender? And it's just like there's something that doesn't quite connect with them. They've had good games this year, but there's something when you're watching them that just doesn't quite look right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just only imagine how frustrating.
I'm sure it's frustrating.
Yeah, but
if you've been a Bengals fan for the last 30 years, yeah, there's nothing new. Like, that's nothing new. The Bengals are a, you know, an organization that usually doesn't get things right. Even when they may get a player right, they don't necessarily know how to build around. It's like T. Higgins is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You don't want to pay him. And you have Ja'Marr Chase upset because you didn't pay him before the season started. That's the Bengals.
Right, and it seems like you need...
That's the Bengals.
And they're great when they have both of them. It would seem to be easy, just pay both of them.
Well, when you have good... It's what you got to do when you have good players.
Right.
It's in sports. You got to find a way to keep your good players.
It is one thing. The Eagles do a lot of things right. Not everything right, but you don't see players leaving the Eagles...
Not at that level.
...who are good players.
Not at that level.
All right. So back to the Twitter question. I want to ask you both, Ike first, then you, Jack. So the question is, are the Eagles back in the Super Bowl conversation for you? Ike, what would you have to – I know you opened the show saying you're in that world
again. I see the path.
What do you need to see? What specifically with the Eagles would put you in a position to say, okay, I fully believe that they are where I wanted them to be now?
Like, well, here's what I'd like them to do. Right, getting this win against the Bengals, they just got a win that they weren't supposed to get. So they need to start. When I went through my whole prediction and where they would lose and where they would win, I had this as a loss at the beginning of the season. But I also had them beating Tampa. So you kind of like flip the wins versus the loss. So to me, they're right where they should be at 5-2. Now, Washington's a little more difficult than I thought they would be this year. But Dallas isn't as difficult as I thought they would be. So to get to your question, I said this last week. I said if they come out of that Washington game on Thursday night sitting at 7-3, I can be happy with it. They're in a good position. But they also they can't go and get swept by Baltimore and Los Angeles.
Right.
Right? So you need to split between those two teams. Win one of those two on the road, back-to-back road games. And after that, you finish up with four out of your last five games at home. Right, you got your one road game is Washington in December, but you got the likes of the Panthers, the Cowboys, Pittsburgh, and the Giants at home late in the season in December. This is where you start hitting your stride heading into the playoffs. So I need to see them get through the Baltimore Rams stretch. And when we come back home after that, I think that takes us up to after Thanksgiving.
Is it Dallas, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore, Rams?
Dallas, Washington, Rams, Baltimore.
Okay, yeah. that's a tough stretch.
So if they can get through that four-game stretch with a 3-1 record, man. And I'm going into December with only, what, three, maybe four losses at the most going into December. I feel good going into December.
Jack, what do you need to see?
Well, my thing with where I'm at with the Eagles is I think the Eagles are playing better. That's obvious. But I don't know who besides the Lions I'm supposed to be super afraid of. And when we're talking about the Lions, it's also how they're playing right now. Like, right now, the Lions look like world beaters. But we know that things can change in an NFL season.
Got to stay healthy, man.
2 weeks ago, the Eagles looked not even like a playoff team, and now they're right back in the conversation. So, for me, I trust that Jalen's going to throw an interception. He's going to fumble at some point again. But yeah. I think the oh, my God, what is that decision kind of Jalen is in the past. And my big question is, is this defense real? Like I think that's the question of how high is this Eagles team ceiling is how real is what we've seen defensively the last.
Well, the defense is real. I don't know what else we need to see. It's real as far as not the best defense in the league. It's a young up and coming defense that's still improving. I always say this when I look at this team, and it's what I'm most encouraged by. It's not a team that's playing above their heads. It's not a team has maxed out their potential and they can't get any better. They're just scratching the surface as a defense. They're just scratching the surface. They went through a huge test yesterday. The Rams offense is going to be difficult. The Washington offense is going to be difficult. Although they struggled yesterday against the Bears. I mean, they had 12 points to the end of the game yesterday against the Chicago Bears, which is a very good defense. The Chicago Bears defense is no slouch. But when you go up against – listen, the Rams in Baltimore are going to be hard to stop. So it's really about what are you expecting. If you're expecting some lockdown – record-setting defense, like, that's unfair. That's unfair to expect. You can't have a defense that just allows a team to march up and down the field, up and down the field, to where you can't get stops.
Well, look, to me, the defense has shown to be, what I would say is, real enough.
Yeah.
Real enough for what the offense was supposed to be. And that's why, for me, it always just comes back to the offense. Because when we were talking about the outlook of this team this year, what we were hoping for from a defensive perspective is, can they be a mid-pack defense? That's all anybody talked about, is that this offense would be so good that if the defense was just passable, then we will have a shot at getting to the Super Bowl. So,
but that's had to be adjusted because the offense isn't so good.
Well, but
so the defense has to do a little bit more.
Well, has had to do a little bit more. You're right. But I think moving forward, what I would say is anything that you're getting from the defense above what we expected, I'm taking as a plus. To me, it's about the – to me, it's a – because you're still going to have a young secondary
in the
playoffs.
But here's my thing, though. You grow. Like, you get better. Let's not put limitations on the defense. So I don't expect them. It's not okay to give up 35 points to the Rams, Washington, or Baltimore.
Oh, sure,
that's not okay, right? Like that's why I look at it. Like, you've established that you can play at this level. So that's what I expect every week. It's not okay to just get run through and expect the offense to sort of rescue you.
Sure, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think, though, if I'm thinking about what will tell me, the offense has now shown us that there is a blueprint moving forward for the defense can get better, so can the offense. And
sure.
The offense has gotten better.
Yep.
And to me, what I saw yesterday, we saw the beginnings of it against the Giants, but what I saw yesterday was maybe they won't get there the way that we thought they would get there to being an elite offense. It might not be as dynamic as we thought at one point, but I want to see the offense become an offense that we believe is one of the five best offenses in the NFL.
Nah.
And if it
– okay.
Well, honestly, I mean –
I mean, that's fine, but they don't have to be a top five offense.
I think they do. To be a Super Bowl team?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it'd be nice if they were. I mean, if your defense is a top 10 defense, you don't need a top five offense.
Yeah, but
I'm saying it's not impossible. They're already a top 10 defense. Like, they're a top 10 defense right now. They're fifth in scoring. defense. They're giving up less than 19 points a game. That's just what the numbers say. They're giving up less than 19 points a game. That's where their defense is at, ranked number 5 in scoring defense. That's where they're at.
Yeah, I do think that stretch that you're talking about will tell us a ton about the defense, too. Because now the Bengals are a hard offensive team to figure out in that they've had great moments this year. But as you said on Friday, the last couple of games, they haven't been particularly impressive, too.
Yep.
So that stretch of tough games will tell us a lot, probably a lot about both teams.
Don't get me wrong. I'm agreeing with you for the most part. I'm just saying I'm not about to all of a sudden say it's okay if we're not playing at the level of defense that we're playing at. Like, continue to get better.
Sure.
As you are. Like, they should get better as a defense, right? Like,
I agree.
Get better as a defense.
I agree. For me to really feel it, when I feel it about the offense, I guess what the way I would answer it is, I feel better about the defense than I feel about the offense at this point.
And you'll feel even better knowing that you got somebody that can slow down Green Bay, Detroit, or any of those other offenses.
Sure.
So you feel better about the team when you feel like I got a defense that can at least slow those teams down.
Then I'm not going to have to score 38 points to win the game.
Yes, that's hard
to do. Every
week. Yes, yeah. that's hard to do.
Yeah. All right.
That's hard to do, especially when you're a running team.
What do you need to see from the Eagles to truly believe?
We're throwing the ball 23 times a game.
Right. What do you truly need to see from the Eagles to really believe that they're a Super Bowl contender? 215-592-9494.
We're back.
We will talk to Donovan McNabb about all of these things next. Talk to him about what he saw from Jalen.
Hugh Douglas, defense is a luxury.
And we'll hear now, the real defensive expert is Donovan McNabb, and we'll hear from him next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.